to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Welcome to Extension Jack, Sons of Valley. Just met Lumber on the board with Mr. Lou Michaels here. He's all ready. Lou, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. I'm still wobbling over the last couple of days. Just wobbling, you know?
I had one of those great air travel experiences yesterday, so I'm happy to wax eloquent on traffic management and passenger management, and I'm not going to name the airline because I think they're all guilty of it. But there's so many ways that airlines could make things a little bit easier, and I think they're incapable of doing it because the people they are putting in sort of key positions are just not the best.
Lou, a lot of things happen when you lose your competitive edge, when you become an oligopoly, cartel, you name it. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, the transparency that airlines are facing right now is actually, I think, a positive thing. But I watched a gate agent who was, I think, just barely literate, try to read the script for boarding. And then inexplicably, you know, you board at this particular airline, you board in groups. So there
Southwest.
Is some kind of orderly boarding process. We were at National Airport.
You won't say Southwest.
No, the gates are small. So you know that they're crowded, and she just announced, you know, he had group one. Okay, so those guys got in first, and everybody lined up, and then group two started boarding, and she had been saying all through the first 15 minutes, you know, overhead space is limited, check your bags. Overhead space is limited, check your bags. We're going to run out of room. If you're in group four, you need to get rid of your carry-on, your roller board, because there's not going to be room. So everybody was all panicked about getting an overhead bin space. And then she inexplicably said, as group two is boarding, she goes, okay, groups two, three, and four can board. And, I mean, maybe 10 people out of group two had gone through the line. So you had this rush to get to the podium, and it was chaos. And people are getting on the airplane and trying to figure out what was going on, and everybody was frustrated, and it was nuts. So I just thought that's such a basic thing. You know, even before you get on the airplane, everybody's in a bad mood and upset and you know, jostling and trying to get on to make sure they get their bag in the overhead. It just kind of a lousy experience. And then the flight thing was classic. I mercifully had a window seat. I was so I could shift my position over a little bit. But I'm in a window seat, and the guy in the middle seat is probably 75 pounds too heavy to be in the middle seat. And so he's literally shoehorned in there, and you know, he cannot sit back. He cannot put his arms back because he's so big. And you know, we basically were in personal contact through the entire flight. And I'm sure the person on the other side of me was too. And so
he wasn't eating the whole way though, was he?
No, he wasn't eating, and nobody on the plane was uncorking a jar of kimchi or anything like that that was particularly odoriferous. That's happened to me. I'm not joking, Maddie. I mean, it's pretty funny. Some of the stuff people get on airplanes with. Some woman was going through security with. It turned out to be a Tupperware container of, I think it was tamales or some kind of tortilla wrapped stuff, but it was you know, the whole bit, the big thing of sauce and the container of food. And the security people are looking at her like, you were going to open this on the airplane? Good luck with that. But, you know, it's just, flying, somebody, my sister who was a flight attendant for many years said that, that flying has become much more like a, like bus travel.
Oh yeah.
And I think there's something to this. And the airplane we were on was great. It was a relatively new, 757, with an extended back. So there was probably 220, 230 people on the airplane.
Wasn't a 757. They stopped making those 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, they've extended the backs on them, because this was a much longer version of the one that, and a new, it had been refurbished. I mean, it had the in-seat video and the plug-ins, receptacles for everybody's stuff. So it, from that perspective, the equipment was pretty good. And having flown on 787s now, a couple of times, I mean, the equipment is getting better and better, and the in-flight experience is getting, they're trying to make it better and better. But it's these connection points where people are you're relying on your staff to make everything work, and I mean sometimes they're just not up to it, and I realize with thousands of flights a day you're going to have problems. You know, there's a percentage you're going to go bad, but there's enough issue with weather and mechanical issues on aircraft that the people stuff have to be better, and the point is, Lou,
they don't have to be better. They can do whatever they want. They can't get any competition.
Oh no, there's lots of competition. I had lots of options on this flight. I wanted a particular time, and I wanted it to be nonstop.
You and I have had this discussion before. You have competition. We have competition. You live in Denver. I live in Chicago. Out of New York, you have competition. Out of Atlanta, you have competition. Philadelphia, maybe. L.A., maybe. San Francisco, maybe. Other than that, nobody has competition.
Oh, D.C. Yeah. I was flying out of D.C. Okay. So D.C. has competition. D.C.'s got two airports. Three airports.
All right, get below the 10 biggest cities, 10 or 12, and tell me, if you live in Cincinnati, how the hell you even do your business?
Well, admittedly, the hub-and-spoke system that they developed is limited options on airports like that. I agree.
There's just certain.
In any event, this was just. It's just one more example. I think. I mean, I don't know. I'm an employment lawyer. I should know this stuff, but I don't know if this kind of thing is an example of just the labor issues where I mean, here in Denver, there is a labor shortage, and according to a number of my clients, the effects of that are manifesting themselves in things like service jobs.
There's only a labor shortage for you if you don't pay enough.
Well, I'm just saying you can't. I mean, they're ratcheting up compensation here, but they can't find people who are willing to perform because do good work in the basic service jobs, because they can always get another job. You know, they can fire them, but the employees can say, "Yeah, fine, I'll squawk out and get another job."
My restaurant buddy, consultant person that I talk to once in a while, when the wages started to go up here a little bit, some with the minimum wage, some with just like starting to go up a little bit, he owns a restaurant, and so he's trying to find people at $10 an hour. I said, "Can't get anybody." I said, "Well, what if you paid 12? Well, then I wouldn't have a problem." Okay, duh.
Yeah. See, and that's where I mean, some of these jobs obviously are not worth the minimum wage, the enforced minimum wage level, and that's why it's a mistake to look at minimum wage the way we do, or the way it's being popularly looked at now. The cities that require people to make $15 an hour are removing flexibility from the employers to adjust wages based on the training or performance of the employee. There was a great piece a great piece by a guy who was writing about the minimum wage hikes in San Francisco. And he said, you know, there are a lot of guys walking the streets of San Francisco that I'd be willing to put on the job and train at $7 an hour or $7.50 an hour or whatever the federal minimum wage is. But at $15 an hour, I can't do it. They're not worth it. They don't show up. They don't whatever. But you know, I don't have that flexibility anymore in terms of my workforce. The other issue that I was wondering about is in terms of labor supply and again, we have a labor supply issue. You talk to anybody in Denver, we have a labor supply issue here. Is labor supply and education. And I just wonder at some point, you know, I think we've got an education system that is not preparing people for even basic jobs.
Well, I think they're not preparing them to read an ad.
They're not preparing them what?
To read an ad and multiply.
Yes, read an ad. Yes, I mean, I don't think it's preparing people for basic jobs, and yet we don't have, you know, people enough people to staff into those positions. So that raises a couple of interesting questions as to what the immediate future is going to look like until artificial intelligence gets to the point where it's going to start replacing people in those kinds of
positions. Well, there's a lot of things you said that, if I was an economics professor, I could have a final just based on your last 100 words.
Oh, I know. No. These are. I mean, like I said, I'm an employment lawyer. I look at these issues from the perspective not just of litigation, but in terms of the kind of problems my clients are going to be facing.
What you just said is very similar to. I'm going to segue here just a hair, because it's a good discussion.
Are we talking about railroad cars or Pullman?
No, but there was a lot to be heard, not to be learned about that. Just saying.
Okay.
With Jay Powell's testimony yesterday, you and Jay Powell are wandering down the same road here. In my opinion, because of what we did with shuttering jobs and stuff overseas, a lot of companies got really, really used to, just like people are getting used to free money and stuff now, a lot of people got really, really used to, and again, in one man's opinion, having the labor market so saturated by people with, shall we say, skills, that you could have gotten somebody with, you know, maybe an accounting degree to run your bar for you. And people got real used to people that maybe have the skill set for a white collar job or $20 an hour making 10. And I don't know if they're happy to do it, but they did it. And now all of a sudden that's starting to slip away a little bit. You know, a lot of the last two administrations at least have somehow not screwed things up so bad, except you question debt and things like that we're starting to get to the end of that. And I have no problem, honestly. I think minimum wage laws only work very narrowly if the market wage is $12 and somehow or another people are paying $11. I think you could probably raise it to $12 and not hurt anybody. But if you raise it to $20, if you raise it above where the market wage ought to be, then I think you've basically caused a problem and not solved anything. I'm enough of an economist to know that. But when somebody says, I'd love to try somebody out at $7.50 an hour, I have no problem with that, Lou, except it's the minute the person shows up 20 days in a row, if the job's worth $15, I think he needs a raise. But that's not what people do these days. If they can keep somebody at $7.50 and he's stupid enough to show up for that and do a good job and doesn't go somewhere else to find another job, they'll take advantage of them right and left in this day and age. And, you know,
that is actually one of the hallmarks of employment discrimination law right now, that the idea that people are willing to start work or work for an initial entry salary that does not get adjusted is one of the, you know, one of the theories of how employment or how employers discriminate against women or minorities or anybody really that's willing to come in and start at a lower compensation. And it's one of the things that I tell my clients, that, you know, you need to be cognizant of what your salary structure looks like, because if somebody comes in, this is a particular problem for women who start working in jobs that maybe pay a little bit less because of part-time or motherhood issues or whatever, or want a flexible schedule, and then are ready to move up or go to another job. And the first thing the employer says is, or the interviewer says is, what did you make at your last position? Well, I was making X. Okay. You can start them at X, you know, but within 6 months to a year, if they're doing the same level of work as all the other guys in your organization, and they're performing at their level, you'd better bring it up to that level. and you'd better be aware that decision process needs to happen. You can't just lockstep promote people from a lower entry level position when the ultimate result is a year or 2 years down the road. There is a significant pay differential between the two.
Lou,
I'm asking for a lawsuit.
I know I'm going to say something old, and if there's a lot of women listening, they're going to be pissed off at me. But you know what? Go ahead. I'm used to having women pissed off at me.
That's your life.
Yeah. If you're minority or women, don't think you're so special, because the same thing you're going through, every white guy went through when I was young. Your job was totally determined on how much you got paid at your last job. And then despite how many promotions you got at Allied, at Pullman, or wherever you were, you'd go from a financial analyst to a senior analyst, okay? And they'll say, well, a senior analyst, I said, well, I get a raise? Well, a junior analyst goes from 15 grand to 40 or 30 or some ridiculous, and a senior analyst goes from 17.5 to 50, and guess what? You're making 18. You're above the minimum. Bleep you. Which is the same thing they're telling to women and minorities now. It didn't start with you. It's these ways of screwing people started with long before women and blacks were in the workplace.
Oh, I know. But it's caught on. The idea that this is somehow,
Don't feel you're so smart. I hope it doesn't happen to you, because I didn't like it when it happened to me, and it shouldn't happen to anybody. But don't think it only happens to you. What's the poster? Where are the different religions? The bleep happens. The Catholic says bleep happens, but I probably deserve it. The Jewish guy says bleep happens.
Jewish person says, why is this bleep always happening?
Yeah, why does it only happen to me? Yeah. It's actually kind of funny, but I mean, it's not just happening to you. Don't believe me. If they can screw anybody, they'll screw them.
Yeah, I wanted to just throw out a couple of thoughts today on Kashmir and a situation that I think is starting to simmer down, but for a couple of days looked really dangerous.
By the way, do not leave today without telling us about Pakistan and India.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. The Kashmir. I'm not talking about sweaters.
Right.
I'm talking about the region in northern India, the India-Pakistan border.
Okay, that's what they call it, Kashmir. Okay.
Territory.
He's not talking about Led Zeppelin songs.
All right.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah, they were the best, weren't they?
You know, that situation has been festering since the division of India in 1947.
Well, there was a full war in 71, right? Was there a full war in 71?
Sorry, go ahead.
Was there a full war in 71 or 70 or somewhere there?
Well, there was a shooting match in 71. They crossed India. That was the last time India crossed the border, crossed the boundary of the disputed territory with troops. And you know, flew aircraft over and all that. Just a couple of points. This region is ostensibly, controlled by a predominantly Muslim group. India views it as its territory. It's a disputed area. Both sides have kind of agreed to, let it operate quasi independently, but the problem is that Pakistan has is a government driven in a lot of ways by its military, and there's apparently, at least according to the accounts that I've read, there's apparently a sect within the military, or a group within the military, that is looking to undermine India and India's influence, especially in this region, with use of terrorist attacks.
All right, so back up here, Wheeler. Explain this a little bit better. There's no, quote, border between Pakistan and India. There's a region between the two that is Kashmir that both sides sort of think they should have influence over, but it's not like the Canadian-U.S. border where here it is.
It's a well-defined region. There's a well-defined border of this region. But it is.
So the region is the border, not a line. There's not like a.
Pardon me?
The region is the border, not the 48th parallel kind of line sort of thing.
Well, right. And so the, as I understand it, and I haven't, I, I, I've only flown over this area. I've never been in there, but as I look at the history, the Indians have allowed a sort of quasi, I won't call it independent, but a quasi-independent state to operate there. It is Muslim-dominated. India wants it back into the fold of Indian government full-time. And they've made an issue out of it with Pakistan. And Pakistan says, hey, it's a Muslim majority. They need to have free elections, and if they do, they'll probably vote to join us. The Pakistanis are not interested in tangling with India head-to-head in a military sense. Both sides, though, have nuclear weapons. Not a lot of them, and the delivery systems for them are, you know, how accurate they are, how direct they are, is an issue. But you literally, I mean, all that game theory that we used to talk about in the 70s and 80s with Russia and with the Soviet Union and the United States, you know, well, if they throw a nuclear weapon here, we'll put nuclear weapons here, and, you know, there'll be a gradual escalation, or both sides are going to, you know, shoot everything they've got. Those kinds of theories now are under discussion again. They've just been dusted off and pulled out to talk about this. You have two nuclear armed powers, and the only question is how much restraint does each side have? And given the somewhat apocalyptic worldview of at least one of the sides and the predominating religion for at least one of those countries, there's a reasonable chance that somebody could say, you know what? What the hell? Let's just talk. Let's put a nuke on Mumbai or in New Delhi and show those Indians that we're really serious. That would be catastrophic.
Well, when you say delivery system, obviously we're used to having a. We'll say this one after the break, Luke, because we'll tease it, because we're used to having, you know, a rocket with five different heads and five different nukes on it, but. Theoretically, you could put one of these in the back of a cargo plane, and you just drive it over and drop it, right? We'll talk about that after the break. S&P futures still down 675. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters. The Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-8871. 1-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right
now. Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie. He's Mr. Will Michaels. And he's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures down 750. NASDAQ futures down 31. Dow futures only down 36, though, as Johnson & Johnson is up... Well, now they're only up 81 cents. They were more than that. Boeing is up $1.54. Boeing is up every day. It's nice to be a cartel, or actually a monopolist in their particular state. This is what's happened every day this week. We do the show. We're down. We come up during the day, and then the last 20 minutes, we duck under again. It looks like we're going to rally. So it's a very odd week, very slow week. Around the rest of the world, over in Europe. By the way, the news this morning is that the summit in Vietnam has been cut short. It, I don't know if everybody read this, but North Korea demanded an end to sanctions, and President Trump got up and walked out. Wow. I mean, I can't say that I don't disagree with that. I agree with that, but it's pretty bizarre that they would have this thing all doing that, and the first thing the guy says is demand the end of the sanctions, and we get up and leave. I mean, that's... We'll lose opinion on that in a second, but I can't say as I expected that. DAX down 16.1%, FTSE down 33.5%, CAC around down 1, let's call that one flat, over in Asia. Nikkei down 171, it's 0.8%, Shanghai down 12, that's 0.5%, Hang Seng down 124.5%. Well, these guys have been down, a couple have been down a couple days in a row, but small compared to how much they've been up, but still they're starting to turn over just a little bit. How far that's going to go. Oil down 13 cents, 56.81, still pretty high. They were up over a buck yesterday. Brent down 37, 66.02. Spread is down to $9.20. Natural gas, 2.82, up 2 cents. We're creeping back up just a little bit. This winter appears to never going to leave. RBOB, unchanged at 162. All the gas prices here in Illinois have been up 4 or 5 cents in the last couple of weeks. Home heating oil, 2.01. And we've got gold up $6. Wow, 13.27. So it's making up, you know, essentially the sell-off of the last couple of days, but it's bouncing back. Copper, 2.96. So again, if you're a copper person looking to see, whether or not, you know, China is coming back a little bit, you look to see copper over $3 is one of those indications. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We're off to a pretty good start on the area expressways, although we do have one crash to report, an accident that's been moved to the right shoulder on the Eisenhower. outbound side just before St. Charles Road. So that's affecting traffic on the outbound side. Old Post Office to Mannheim is up to 20 minutes. To Route 390, we're at 38 minutes and growing. Inbound side of the Eisenhower still looks okay. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy. Stevenson is all quiet. Southside Expressway is looking good. Suburban tollways are looking good, too, as we are off to a great start on the expressways. Only other area of concern, we have an exit ramp closed downtown. Congress Parkway at Wells is closed due to a fuel spill at Lower Wacker in Adams that happened earlier this morning. So crews are on the scene trying
to get that cleared up. That's an easy one, man. You can look out your window and see the lights.
Exactly. So we're working on that. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, another cold, miserable day. We're used to that. Last day of February, but it might as well be the first day of January, I don't know, and it's not getting any better anytime soon, but we're overcast, very cold, well below normal, a high of just 26 with wind chills in the single digits. Right now it is mostly clear and 14 degrees downtown with a wind chill at 1. For our Phoenix listeners, beautiful day, sunshine, high of 76, right now it's clear and 49. In sports, Bulls have won 4 out of 5, they won on the road last night in Memphis, 109-107. Lauri Markkanen just continues to impress. He's been one of the best players in the league in the second half. 10 straight games now of 20-plus points and 9-plus rebounds. He had 22 and 10 last night. Zach LaVine had 30 in the win. Blackhawks, with a surprising late-night road win last night, come from behind fashion. They topped Anaheim on the road 4-3. So Blackhawks clinging to their slim playoff chances, 5 points out of the last playoff spot in the West. College hoops. Illinois played Purdue tough for about 30 minutes and then were blown out in the final 10. They lost at West Lafayette 73-56. DePaul lost at Georgetown 82-73. Loyola remains tied atop the Missouri Valley Conference with one game to play with Drake. They won at UNI, a nice win, 56-55.
Lou, we have to get back to this we were talking about, but this guy Cohen, we'll talk a little bit about him in a minute, but I can't think of anything worse that when you're going to jail for lying to Congress. There's things in this country that I just can't even believe. Boy, if you were sitting in the this outer space guy listening in, it must be absolutely hilarious listening to it. When a guy who is going to jail for lying to Congress starts getting lectured about lying from people in Congress, I don't know whether I should laugh or cry.
I'm just going to say this about Mr. Cohen. The idea and the situation, the idea that Congress and the press, because it helps get Trump, are countenancing the just wholesale violation of attorney-client privilege by this guy is awful and is setting a very, very dangerous precedent. And I think most lawyers watching this play out are horrified, and that, you know, I mean, my personal opinion is you ought to be in jail just for that. But this represents the most fundamental breach of client duty and obligation you can imagine, and it's just another measure, I think, in some ways, of the kind of people that the president surrounded himself with when he was doing business in New York. And that's all I'm going to say about it. I didn't see the testimony. I just read a couple of synopses of it. I want to get back to Kashmir real quick and talk about that, and then we can.
Yeah, I got one good exchange we should talk about, but
Kevin said you're not talking about sweaters. That's correct. That's the second hour every Wednesday.
Yeah,
with Russell.
Yeah.
Let me, and then I want, and then we'll talk about Korea and North Korea. Very briefly, he has terminated terminated the talks. The president gave a press release about 2 hours, 3 hours ago, just basically saying, look, you got to be able to walk away from some bad deals. What I would say about Korea real quickly is this. People are starting to say, this is all supposed to be worked out in advance, and these are supposed to be formal signings. And the short answer is this president doesn't do that. He believes he can negotiate. He is negotiating with a fair amount of transparency here, at least on this one. And it was an actual negotiation. He was going to sit down with Kim and try to sort stuff out. And Kim wasn't playing ball. And okay, that's what happens. President Trump is not, he's not the kind of, you know, backdoor, back deal, let's get it all done and this will be a nice show ceremony here. That's not his style, whether it should be or not. That's not his style. It's a little bit refreshing. It also reflects, I think, a real belief in his own belief in his ability to negotiate agreements and finalize agreements. I think it probably also sends a little warning to the Chinese that, hey, this tariff negotiation that we're undertaking is real, and if you don't follow through with it, we'll walk away from that deal too.
The idea, Lou, that somebody, when he looks in the mirror, does he see like a godlike person or what? I mean, not to get into his personality, but like I said, I just did. But
I don't think he sees himself in that way. I think he sees himself as a business guy.
Well,
I know lots of guys like this.
I hope you don't know lots of guys exactly like him.
I've dealt with lots of clients like this, who, you know, because of their success, feel that they are, if not the smartest person in the room, the only person in the room who can get things done.
Well,
I do think he believes that about himself.
We had a president once who got shot, by the way, who I think was one of the most brilliant men of certainly my generation. Well, he wasn't my generation. I guess he was a generation above me. John Kennedy, and when as a young president, he went and had a sortie with Nikita Khrushchev, pretty much full of himself, thinking with his personality and his knowledge, he could pretty much handle this without doing the pre-work like you were talking about. And history has essentially written, and he admitted he did a horrible job because he wasn't prepared, and he never let it happen again.
Sure.
So I'm not so sure somebody who is able to read that history doing the same thing, now it becomes a mistake in my mind. I would never do that because I don't think I'm as smart as John Kennedy. And it happened to him. I'm going to make sure that I read what went wrong and try not to do the same thing. But when you have somebody who refuses to read, this is what you get.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's an interesting result. I think it's the right result if Kim wanted to keep
it. I do too.
And fine. Walk away.
Yep. I agree.
So let me finish up with our discussion on Kashmir. The delivery system that we're talking about could be, yeah, given what they've got, it won't be. I mean, both sides allegedly have rockets, missiles that they could guide in and put a nuke on top of. But I don't think that they are so confident in those missiles' delivery capabilities.
Can I ask you a real, very serious question that you do not have to answer because I know your pay grade? How small now and how heavy is a nuke that would get people's attention?
Okay, so let's talk. You're talking in the problem. I mean, a bomb that would obliterate a significant portion of a downtown is probably somewhere in the you know 5 to 10 kiloton range. About half the maximum, about half the size of a Hiroshima burst.
Okay.
You know, for us, those bombs are not very big. I mean, they could be put in the back of a car.
So they're not 1,000 pounds. They're 400 pounds, 300 pounds.
Yeah. You can. Now, I don't know if the Pakistan and Indian nuclear programs have progressed to the point where they've been miniaturizing these things. Small, you know, a 1 kiloton or 2 kiloton explosion could react in a, or could be contained in a bomb, and that would, you know, 2 kilotons is 2,000 tons of TNT. And if a weapon like that went off inside a crowded urban area, you're talking about a fair amount of devastation, probably in the, you know, 500 to 1,000 yard radius of obliterating everything.
How big of a radiation footprint?
And just so you're clear on that, that was the size, that a nuclear weapon that size could fit in a duffel bag.
Wow. But it still has to be 100 pounds.
Yeah, you'd have to carry it. I mean, it's not something you'd put on a backpack. Allegedly, there are backpack nukes. I have yet to see one. But small low yield stuff in the 1 to 5 kiloton range are small enough to fit inside a car.
How big of a
with difficulty?
How big of a fallout footprint does something like that have?
Depends where it's detonated, but if it's detonated on the ground, you're going to have a lot of fallout and a lot of radiation scattered all over the place. If it's an airburst weapon, the blast effect is more significant, and the thermal effect is more significant, but you don't have nearly as much radiation. So the question is whether they're going to deliver this. I mean, I would assume they would deliver it by aircraft, because that's their most reliable way of getting it in and getting it close to where they want to put it. But conceivably, you know, you could put it in a shipping container or in a truck and drive it across the border and park it somewhere and set it off. That was one of the big nightmares of after 9/11. You know, how susceptible were we to something like that? Somebody driving a truck and parking it, you know, 10 blocks from the White House and setting it off. So if these guys decided to go this way, they have delivery systems that could at least get the weapons in. One of the fascinating aspects of the initial attack by India was they put 12 fighters across the border. There was a report that I saw that indicated that the Pakistanis were in the habit of turning off their radars at night in
really?
An effort to save maintenance costs and things like that. And so, because the idea that you could take 12 aircraft and fly them up to a border anywhere is pretty unusual, especially a contested border. So that tells you something about military readiness, that you could put a flight of those aircraft across like that. Now, obviously, it wasn't completely uncontested, and we don't know the details of the shootdown, but they knocked down two aircraft. They captured a squadron commander. I don't know about the other pilot. The aircraft they were flying, that this guy was flying when he was shot down, was a MiG-21. MiG-21 dates from the early 1960s.
I was going to say, that was a Vietnam plane.
Yep, sure was. And so this is an interesting marker in terms of the aircraft that the Indian Air Force is flying. Of course, India aligned itself with the Soviet Union in terms of sort of international politics back in the 60s and bought most of its weaponry from Russia, and still does, although they're developing their own indigenous stuff. Again, how dangerous the issue is whether these guys go nuclear and how dangerous that is. And as I said, it looks like this is being diffused. I saw a report this morning that Pakistan has said they're going to return the pilot. Among other things playing in there, there are elections going in both countries. In India, Prime Minister Modi is facing an election in June. There's a lot of concern in his party about whether they can win the election there. And so, you know, he's a nationalist. He's a Hindu nationalist. His party has pushed Hindu nationalism. And so when Pakistan allegedly supported that terrorist attack that killed 40 Indian policemen in Kashmir, India took that as a slap in the face and a personal affront and said, okay, we're going to move on this. And remember, Pakistan is widely believed to be, with very good reason, an element of the Pakistan military is widely believed to be behind the Lashkar terrorist attack in Mumbai at the Grand Hotel there.
Right.
You know what? 11 years ago. That still
has to have left a mark in India. I mean,
And the Indians did not retaliate in this way. So this thing coming back now, I think there's a lot of pent up frustration that probably got rolled out on this. And again, this was India's way of saying, look, don't do this again, especially not around our elections.
Well, I mean, Osama bin Laden was in there.
Pakistan's kind of like the New England Patriots. You know, they do stuff and then finally there's this big eruption from the NFL that's all out of proportion to what they did before. Which, by the way, we might see with Bob Kraft. I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah. Very, very brief, quick story here. Cliff Notes version. We had a client way back in the day, Lou, that used to fly a MiG-17 at air shows.
I have one of my classmates from Air Force, I believe, is a part owner of a MiG-17 or MiG-19. Flagon, I believe. And I've dumped in those designations. I used to know all those designations. Farmer, sorry, the 19's the farmer. Those were beautiful little swept-wing aircraft.
Well, the guy, the listenership, real quick, that's something you need to know, I guess, but they were produced for years, both in China and Russia.
They were produced in China, Russia. They were produced in Czechoslovakia.
Really?
And in Poland, yep.
Well, he had the Chinese version. Now, what's the problem with the Chinese version, if you have a problem?
I don't know.
Well, let's just say that the window to get in the damn thing is smaller.
Oh, okay.
So if you have to use the ejector seat, both of your shoulders will remain in the plane.
Yeah, that could be an issue.
So one day the guy needs a new engine in the thing, right? I just heard this anecdotally because I was still on the trading floor and the rest of the guys up here were doing all the trading. And back when the OEX was busy, the phones are ringing like mad at PTI back when people traded the OEX. So I come up after the close and the phone's ringing. I picked it up and, you know, Tom Howe speaking, and he's like, "Well, this is Bill. I've had a crummy day." And I'm like, "Bill, it's nothing we did. Oh no, trades I did were pretty good, but I lost my plane." "How'd you lose your plane?" "Well, evidently he put a new motor in the thing." And this is something that I didn't know. When you can only test it so much running up and down a runway. At some point you got to get wet and get in the air, right? But when you test the motor, you go straight up. I said, "Why the hell do you go straight up?" He goes, "Because if it conks out, you don't want to have it conk out over somebody's house. You want the conk out over the airfield so you get it back down," which I guess makes total sense, but not being a pilot, I would never think of that. So the thing comes down and it's flaring some flame, and the fire department sees him coming down. They run out with the foam, and they spray the plane with the foam with him protesting to beat the band. Evidently, the foam contains the heat and ruins the plane. Where if you just would have let the motor burn out, because I could have just put a new motor in, but I couldn't get these idiots to stop throwing a foam on there, and the whole plane's a disaster.
I had a classmate of mine who took off from, I believe, Peoria. An airfield in central Illinois, flying. He has an F-86, a Super Saber, and he took off with that thing. And as he took off, he got what he referred to as an uncontained turbine blade failure. So the engine threw a turbine blade through the side of the airplane, and of course flamed out, and he lost all power. And it was exactly the same thing. He had taken off, and he said, "You know, in these old aircraft, you get as high as you can, as fast as you can, because You want to take off and landing is the one place you don't have enough altitude to maneuver." So he was about 1,500 feet when the thing blew, and he had just enough altitude to turn the thing around and dead stick it in, gliding it in. He glided in, landed it back at the runway, and was able to save the aircraft. Those are exciting stories.
Lou, I want to talk a little bit about the Cohen situation. By the way, we have 5 minutes. I absolutely agree with you regarding the attorney-client privilege, and I think we're starting to see a lot. Maddie and I were talking on the way in today, just in general. I have real fears about our country going forward, and I can't even really. You maybe understand where I'm coming from more than most people. I mean, most people have no idea where I'm coming from. Maybe even me sometimes. But there's some weird stuff here that we're every sort of moral line we used to have. Not that we didn't always have immoral people. I mean, they go back to, you know, wherever. The time of the first human, or the second guy was probably immoral. But we're crossing over from this, not just immoral. I mean, everybody knew that there were going to be crooks or bad people. But even they knew they were bad people. Now we're questioning, like, all the lines. It's become more of an amoral thing than an immoral thing. And I can deal with somebody being bad. You can deal with that. This other part where people don't even seem to have they're changing the whole views of right and wrong in economic principles just to match their own stuff. I mean, the idea with Cohen and the attorney-client privilege, to me, I agree with you. I will not disagree at all. But I also know that if you're my attorney, which, you know, at the time I've asked you advice once in a while, or Greg, who's come on the show once in a while, I think I have a pretty clear idea that if the two of us are fixing horse races, that's not attorney-client privilege. That's not me hiring him because I got a, you know, a traffic ticket or because FINRA came down on us or something, and I'm hiring him to help our case or something like that, or it's an arbitration or something. I understand there's a line there. And it seems like some of these people absolutely push this line. Now, this guy paying off some babe or lady is certainly not part of what I would ever consider to be attorney-client privilege. But somebody, our president, and probably other people like him, he's probably didn't invent it, have pushed his line to where there is no line, Lou. I mean, what in all the stuff this guy did for him, what percentage would you say was legitimate attorney-client privilege?
Oh, I would say a lot of it. And I would say having people make settled claims is well within that. I mean, I think a lot of it is attorney-client privilege. Now, to the extent that he was telling him, you know, this is how we're going to frustrate the will of Congress, that's a different ballgame. Most of what I've heard would fall clearly into and cleanly into attorney-client privilege communication, and should not. I'm aghast that he's actually talking about it.
Okay, well, you probably have a better idea, but I'm going to say, is it fair to say that the attorney-client privilege part was pushed? I mean, I wouldn't exactly call all the stuff that.
I would say it was pushed, and I will say, will also tell you that it gets pushed every day of the week in law firm offices and client calls across the country.
But I wouldn't consider
push that limit.
I mean, I would say that Don Corleone pushed it with Tom Hagen.
Well, but that's different. He wasn't getting legal advice from Tom Hagen. He was getting other advice. In terms of getting legal advice, people want to know, hey, how far can I go on this legal issue? You know, how far can I push before I'm in trouble with the feds?
If I ask you the question,
now,
how much?
So the question is, does that involve law breaking?
Well, let me ask you this: if I ask you, by the way, I have this problem with this lady, and she wants $100,000 to shut up. What do you think? You might say, well, if you trust her, go ahead and pay her. I'm not so sure that you would actually pay her for me.
I don't know, but I that kind of stuff happens on a regular basis.
Really?
And I don't think it's improper. I don't think it's illegal.
Manny, we got to get out more. I got to get out more. Because I would never dream this is going on all over the place. Maybe that's my South Side upbringing. Well, I guess it is, but I need to see the world. I need to open my eyes here a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I'm not saying that everybody's running around having affairs with strippers, but having your legal people handle that and manage something like that is classic.
Okay, I still like the lecture of the senator telling somebody about lying.
I agree.
You got to talk about walking into a crocodile pit and having guys tell you about your teeth look bad. I mean, good Lord.
Yep.
Lou, have a good week, buddy. Take care of yourself. Stay off that airline, whichever one you're on that you haven't named. S&P futures down 450. NASDAQ futures down 20. Come back. We have Mr. Fari Hamzy.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's john@PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Something happening here.
Well, welcome back, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, just been working the board. We have Mr. Ferrari Hamzy.
Hi, Tommy.
How are you, boy? The first few lines on that song, do they ever get old, Manny?
They're always applicable. That's
always,
for sure.
Seem like they're more applicable by the day, for God's sake. Ferrari, how are you? We got wars. We got all kinds of stuff going on now.
Yeah, well, you know, we got all kinds of issues. My only question is, I posted a little bit earlier today on Facebook, was, Did maybe the Trumpkins had too many winnings this year already, and so Grumpino said, we don't have to have a communique, we don't have to have a big deal here, we'll come back later.
He's riding the wave of the China deal. Even though Lighthouse, I thought, did a pretty interesting job yesterday, talking about how complicated it all is. That guy seems pretty bright.
Well, he's so bright that he asked Cohen to threaten all the schools not to give out his transcripts.
Really?
Yeah. Did you miss that? Yeah. He actually showed a letter on a Trump letterhead that, as a counsel, he wrote out to these different schools, saying, including SAT, the College Board, including the SAT scores, cannot be given out. Under any circumstance, they'll be sued.
Well, he's going to sue everybody.
That's how bright this guy is.
I was talking about the Lighthouse, the guy, the negotiator for China, the third guy being interviewed yesterday by Congress at the same time.
Lighthouse, you lost me. I'm sorry.
What's this guy's name?
I'm on the two-digit IT.
No, there's right there. Yeah, well, there
was working on my first couple.
No, there was Powell being interviewed in one spot, Cohen in another. Then the other guy, was it Light? What's the guy's name, Manny? Light? It's a wacky name. He's the guy who's the head negotiator with China.
Yeah. That's the guy that was on there. He made fun of him or gave him a lecture about the language of something about in the White House, I mean, in the Oval Office the other day.
I don't know, but he's kind of a, he's kind of an odd guy, but he seems like
his name is Lighthizer.
Lighthizer.
Yeah, that's the guy. He made fun of him or tried to tell him, teach him a lesson in linguistics instead of an Oval Office on cameras. This is linguistics according to Trump.
Well, whatever, but the guy, he seemed pretty bright, and he was saying that the intensity and the depth of these negotiations are just, it's going to take a long time.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Politburo is a bunch of engineers in China.
Well,
they're not going to give up that easily. This is only a smoke and mirrors for the Trumpkins. Why are you buying into this?
Well, I think that at some point...
again, Matt, this is a question we keep on bringing up. I think you should disclose this before the first interview. What is in the chief's coffee that day?
We haven't made the...
You're the local FDA. You need to know what you put in this coffee.
We haven't had marijuana legal here yet, so you don't have to worry
about it. There. I don't know what it is. But you got to realize, this is... Listen... The Politburo in China is made of a bunch of engineers. They're not going to give up that easily. They need to have very, very logic and short of war, they need to have, and this is business. You can't tell them with war. But short of war, they need to have a win-win situation for them to go forward.
I actually do think as well, Fry, they have the long-term view. They really think in 40 years their military is going to be stronger than ours.
If you read what they have done, you know, scary.
Yeah.
Listen, landing on the dark side of the moon is not easy. Only Led Zeppelin could do that.
That's right.
Or was it Pink Floyd? I'm sorry, only Pink Floyd can
Pink
do that.
Pink Floyd, I believe,
on our
yeah.
part. Them, they went there. Think about that.
Yeah, we didn't do that. Yet.
Yeah, well, you need to put a satellite there because there's no signal on that side.
Besides, we don't even have a rocket to get there anymore.
Well, SLS is coming. SLS is coming. Probably the first launch would be this year, hopefully. But you still have to put at least a satellite there first to give signal to the rover on the dark side because there is no way for us to send signal through the moon. Not through the moon. It's got to hit a satellite there that could geosynchronous for moon so it can bounce the signal to it. They did that. Think about that concept.
Fari, how would you feel if you started getting a lecture on truth from a bunch of senators?
Oh, Jesus, please don't bring that up, please. Please.
Going to a local 12 and get a lecture on morality.
Well, I think the problem is that it's beginning to dawn on them how bad the situation is. Listen, yesterday with the COVID, did you see there were no questions from him? From the Republican side. All they did is bashed him.
Yeah, yeah.
That there were no questions from him about this event or that event or this document. Nobody asked that. All they said was, you're a bad guy. You've lied, therefore you're a bad guy right now, too. Not realizing, if he lies now, he is cooked.
Yeah, well, did you get the one...
He'll get 3 years. He won't go back down. He'll go, woof, shoot up very fast.
Did you get the one exchange? I forget, Maddie's trying to dig this up. The one exchange with the one guy where the guy says, Colin says something about... I lied for the man for 10 years, the same thing you're doing right now,
but
I'm going to jail and you're not, or something like that.
He says, well,
what a
one
great,
day you guys are going to be in the same boat I'm in.
Yeah, well,
that doesn't mean going to a jail part, but realizing how wrong you've been for 10 years.
Wouldn't it be nice, but why do you think everybody, as one of my buddies said, being a chairman of a big corporation or whatever, right now is such an amazing job. You get so much friggin' money and club membership, way beyond what it ever should be in most of these places. But every one of those guys would change, would give that up to be a senator. Well, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people would. Because, wasn't it nice to be above the law? How could you lecture somebody else on the truth when you're a politician? I mean, name me one of these guys that doesn't lie half the
day.
Well,
see, that's the part of the deal is that, it's funny how you could be a politician, and it's almost implied that you're not going to be 100% truthful. And you can always blame it on politics or events unforeseen, but yet lying to a senator would be a major crime.
Yeah.
You hold a very, very tough standards on the populace that you're governing, okay? But yet you have a latitude there. Chances are you're going to get away with it.
Well, and I
don't
have
an even-keel environment.
I have amazing issues.
confidence. You know,
I started the show by saying
the game.
I started the show by saying I have very worries, serious worries about our future, our moral future. Not that there haven't always been immoral people, but the whole concept that it's okay with most of the population for the FBI to lie to you, but if you lie back to them, you go to jail, and they don't. I mean, I don't see how a society...
Right, FBI would not do it intentionally. FBI is being told to do that.
Oh, bull. you mean they wouldn't tell me that Matty Weber's already confessed in the next room, even though he didn't? They'll do that tomorrow.
Please.
Matty, you don't think they would? Sure they would.
I wouldn't put it past them.
And you think they're going to go to jail for that?
Listen, the actions they take is always... A lot of times, first of all, they're run by appointee. Now, if they've been there long enough, they're no longer politically motivated because, you know, party.
How do you take the politics out of any human being?
But that's what I just said earlier.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Wait a second. You just confirmed what I said earlier. I said it's the politics that's telling them what to do.
But even if you
track it long enough. Let's say Mueller, the longest serving FBI director, staunch Republican, but he also operated under Obama.
Yeah.
Now the issue is, did he? Now maybe he's not a good example because I know his type. Okay. I mean, he went to Princeton. He went to college, my club at Princeton. Okay. I know these types. But still, the country comes first. For these guys, country comes first no matter what. But still, you got to ask yourself a question. Would at some time they be persuaded to do something about their politics? You can't say no.
Well, especially when the guy is doing nothing but calling your names and vilifying you by the day. It was a personal thing then.
PGA Saluki tweets in, someone needs to tell Fari that Cohen did lie yesterday about his desire for a position in the White House. He said no, but his sentencing document from the SDNY said he did.
Sure. Right, so, I agree. I agree with him.
All right, so do we...
One for PJ.
All right.
Thousand for us.
Are we going to hold...
Another Trumpkin. Well, Trumpkin's got a whole... Listen, they need to hang on something. Look at all their winnings. Come on.
Well, the point is...
I don't know what he's drinking.
I have no...
I'm talking about BJ.
But does anybody have any love for Cohen? I mean, I surely don't.
No, he does.
But how can somebody sit there over, what was it, 3 hours of testimony or two, whatever it was...
And I'm a Republican. I'm as anti-Clinton as they come. But you cannot mess around with the elections. Unfortunately, I know I'm a purist and probably not a realist. Both sides have managed things around.
Look at
what they did with Gary Hart. Remember?
Yep.
Now, look at Kennedy's have done. Either side you took at, look what happened in 16 in Chicago for JFK. Every side has manipulated these things. The problem we have now is that we have a lot more connectivity. More people are looking at it, more people are active, and, probably they have less things to do and more being politics. And with YouTube and this and that, the social media, it gets out so much faster. No longer three networks control over here.
Well, it gets out, but then so much gets out that nobody can do anything about it.
Well, sometimes it's overwhelmed too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely overwhelming. I mean, sometimes I don't even get to look at what's going on, my message I've had on social media until 7, 8 o'clock at night.
But just the point, just the idea, and by the way, I love PJ. He sends in a bunch of stuff that I read, and it's good stuff. Just the idea that somebody would concern themselves from a guy who was accused of being a liar in 2 hours coming up with one lie we attested to, but it's probably more in there. How many lies do you think the senators told during the hearing yesterday? How many lies did Trump tell? What does the Bible say? A just man sins 7 times a day.
Well, yesterday was no senators, they were House members.
Yeah, we're House members. I mean, we're at this point where we hold some people up to stuff, and then other people I want to be the person. We're talking about it yesterday, Ferry. I want to be the person someday where all of a sudden I can do whatever I want and it's okay. Some people get to cross that line and they become Teflon people, and other people don't. And the same person holds one person well, you lied. I'm never going to talk to you again. Oh, he lies all the time. That's okay because he lies all the time. I mean, it's. I don't know how the hell. It's one of the big mysteries of life to me, and I'll probably take it to my grave. I mean,
listen, the biggest damage done yesterday was the second check. Don Jr.'s signature on it.
Okay, see, I was
that's
actually
it.
Watching.
That was the torpedo.
I actually was boom, watching Paul
across the bow and the stern and everything. It was that was it. Yeah, because that now. You're looking at possible jail time for what do you call it, for Don Jr. and unless he wants to throw his son in under the bus, he'd probably make a deal and get out. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, very well.
I hear on the intelligence community side, they're saying that's what's being negotiated.
Let's shift gears for a sec. What about the Powell testimony? Because it's closer to Stocks and Jacks. I can't even begin to explain my feelings regarding this guy Powell. The fact that he's turned around and he's become Mr. Smirkman when people ask him real questions. The world that he has going forward, we're going to continue to put so much money into the system that we're going to continue to pay banks interest, and how spectacular the world is, because the people who got us in trouble, now we've given so much money back to, that even if they bleep up again, they couldn't possibly go through the money that we've given them, but now the world is better. Farhi, what planet is this man?
I'm worried about some of his recent comments.
What planet?
Notice what Yellen did last week, right? She bashed him, not Powell, but the part about knowledge of Fed. I think we need to leave Fed alone. Fed has got to do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, but they're not.
Get the politics out of them. This is how they get into trouble.
But Farhi, go back.
How many masters you want to have?
Farhi, go back 50 years to the 1960s. Every single, I'm going to say, run-up, what would be the word I could use? Suspicious run-up in the market and subsequent crash has been caused by the Fed not doing their job, the way I would define it. In the way Milton
Friedman, caused by the Fed, but not? What?
By not doing their job properly. Too much money, market runs up, oh my God, pull it back out, market crashes every single time. And now this guy is talking about the new world. Let me explain the new world to you. Maddie Weber going forward is going to have kids, grandkids someday. I mean, whatever. I hope he lives to be 120. But Maddie Weber's world is going to be...
Me too.
Yeah, Maddie Weber's world is going to be no money in anybody's bank account ever from one of these big banks and them charging you 15% on credit cards. This is the world. And only people that can borrow money are big companies, so they can get even bigger and bigger. They can borrow money at 3% to buy another company. But if the company they're buying tries to borrow money, it's 8%. This is the world we're in. I don't want to be any part of that world, Farhi.
Right.
I mean, this is the new normal. This is not normal. Why can't we have a federal funds rate? Why do we have to have the Fed? I mean, how can people sit there and listen?
Speaking of that, did you look at the yields now? Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, I'm looking right
30,
at them.
Okay, and
2.67 in a 10-year.
To some extent, five. Yeah. But the 30, a 10, and a 5. Well, it was pretty nice yesterday, but they're still way below the peaks they had in October and November.
Oh, right? The 10-year got
for 30, it goes years back because the 7-year high is still at 3.976. Now, on the other hand, the Fed funds rate is punching through 7-year low. Okay? I mean, the front end is beginning to punch through. I mean, we pulled back a tad yesterday, but day before it, we almost made a new high.
What do you suppose?
For 7 years.
What do you suppose the Fed funds rate would be if they didn't pay interest on reserves overnight?
If they didn't do what?
If the Fed was not paying these bleep bankers interest on excess money overnight.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm going to say 0.75, less than 1%.
So they're paying now 2.388. You see, would be 50% lower.
No, I think they'd be a quarter of what they are now. All right, I know I got everybody told
quarter, 25 basis points lower.
I mean, no, let me explain this. I'm way. Maddie's going to kick me from the other room. I've lost everybody. The Fed Fed funds rate by definition.
It's 2.388. Right,
stop for a second. The Fed fund rate. It, by definition, is if a bank does not have enough reserves that night, they can go out and borrow money from another bank.
From another bank, correct.
Okay,
exactly.
But we don't do that anymore. The what happens is the Fed has entered the system and said, we're going to pay Fari's Bank 2.75% overnight. So if Fari's Bank goes to Maddie Weber's bank to get the Fed funds rate, they're going to say, I can send my excess reserves to the Fed. You better pay me 2.75% because they're giving me 2.75%. That's not the same thing, Fari. It's not the same thing at all. What they're saying is they're giving the bank 2.75% on money that they got from you at zero, plus they're scalping the citizenry.
It's an interest rate arbitrage.
They're becoming a competitor. If you pull them out of the system, and then tomorrow, Fari goes
why
to
would
Maddie,
they continue doing this if the system is cleaned up?
Because he said it's worked so well. They still think they get, why do you think every representative, especially on the Democratic side, Maxine Waters, nobody likes, was the first person who said it. Why are you paying these people interest?
Yeah.
To Janet Yellen. And she says, oh, it's a...
Yeah,
it's
look at what the index is.
We never
look
pay
what
these...
Look at unemployment is.
Yeah.
We don't need to pay them.
No, but every Democrat who says that, especially if she's female or black, they assume she doesn't know what she's talking about. Even they know this is unconscionable. This has never happened before. What are we doing? Let the Fed funds.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
Drag.
I mean, it's like a subsidizing successful capitalism.
And they'll come out and say they've done their job because they've recapitalized the banks. They haven't recapitalized you and me.
Yeah.
I mean, for people to sit there, I want a senator to stand up who's been there a long time and say, I don't want you doing that, and if you keep doing it, I'm gonna change your charter.
What?
They have no business doing that. None whatsoever. In an emergency situation, maybe. We're 10 years past that. So forever now, you're gonna give money to a bank for free, and the Fed is gonna turn around and say, ship that to me at night and I'll pay you interest on it? What the bleep?
You don't need that.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
Don't get too excited now.
I'm just talking about it. So now the question is...
Matt, you're getting some cold water.
But you know, but the weird part is if you listen to the whole testimony, Fari, yeah. It almost comes out to, I mean, I think most of us realize that the amount of money that the Fed has poured into the system has caused prices of all assets to be higher than they ought to be. Now, I'm hoping
hold on 1 second. Before you go there, I just noticed something. This is relevant to what we talk about. 2.388 is what the discount is. Remember, you have to compound that four times.
Okay.
This is a 91-day T-bill, right? Guess what the 5-year is? 2.46.
Yeah, it's not, I'm saying
guess
that
what, the... Guess what 10-year is? 2.67.
No,
almost there's no incentive to lend long-term.
Well, what I'm saying is the short-term... If they stop paying,
ridiculously out of line.
I know, but if they stop, the only reason why it is because they're paying that number to banks overnight.
Exactly.
If they weren't, that number would drop down to a point, maybe.
I agree with you now, especially if you see that discrepancy all of a sudden. I just think that real value.
Yeah.
Why would you have 5-year lending when you can have a 91-day at that rate?
So why do you think that here at PTI, shameless plug, we have clients and when they want to invest money short term. My brother Dan goes right to the Fed auction and goes out like 6 months, which, you know, even if the rates go up, you can handle it for 6 months. We've been getting 2.4, 2.3 for people. Why the hell would you ever go on a 30-year bond at 3 if my brother can get you 2.4 for 6 months?
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I don't know if other firms do that for people, but we actually go right to the auction. I mean, we're small enough that we can do that for guys. So, I mean, anybody who thinks they can't get any money... Give me a call. I mean, we can get you money from the Fed.
I think people are listening to you.
Well, I hope so. I mean,
no, it's ticking down.
Yeah, I mean, this is nuts. But
maybe Fed is one of your listeners.
But the question is, Fari, when you've done that, and the questioning yesterday in his testimony, he's been beaten up by the talking heads and probably by rich people in this country, and certainly by the president. He seems to think now that if you have put money into the system, and now all of a sudden say your stocks are 10% too high or 5%. I don't think it's 50 or 40 or anything like that, but say it's 5 or 10. He almost admitted yesterday that he has an obligation to essentially to maintain that premium, that they can't let it come back to quote normal pricing. And because when they tried to put things normal last fall, look what happened. And his point is, we're too fragile for that. We can't let it happen. We have to maintain this. I'll use the term artificial premium. Fari, that's dangerous. That's real dangerous, I think.
I agree.
And, but you know,
the Fed policy should not be boxed. Should be very, very flexible.
But then again, you don't want to be the
for him to declare it. Others will could game it. So.
But Fari, if you're mayor tomorrow, and you run on a ticket of, I'm going to be fair. Nobody's
mayor.
Gonna get, mayor, I'm just follow me for a second. If you run on a ticket, I'm never going to. I'm going to be fair.
I'm
to all
really questioning what they put in your
okay.
copy.
All right,
go
no,
ahead. Huh?
All right. So if you're running for mayor and your platform is everybody's going to be treated fairly, blah 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 blah. Big companies aren't going to get the same advantage or any more advantage than a small business. If you run on that as your platform, which would be my platform, and the second day you're in office, you're faced with a, you know, Cubs are leaving town unless you pony up money for them. It's one mm-hmm. thing to say it. It's quite another to do it. And I will say this about, much as I've been castigating this poor guy, the fact is, if you could, every interview you could say, I'm gonna run the Fed in a long-term best interest. And the minute you start dragging money out of the system like they did last fall, we're down 20%. The pressure you're gonna be under. Because there's people don't even know a regular market, Fari. 15, 20 years ago. From people 7, 8 years ago. What are you talking about? Every time the market goes down, you guys put more money in. You are the Fed put. I put my money in here. I'm not losing it because of you. Let's get somebody else in here. It's like manna from heaven. Keep it going. And you know what? I've turned bullish here again. Not the extent that I think we're going to run up as much as we did the last 8 weeks, but I think I don't want my calls anywhere close to the strike. I'm rolling them rather than once they touch in the money, I'm rolling them. I'm not even close to saying, don't worry, it'll come back down.
Yeah, we went long too. We went long too last week.
But I don't
and,
think
and
it's...
This early this week and on a Friday... So a couple of small shakes, and people got panicky. We said, no, just hold up. Be long.
But, I mean, logic tells you, and age tells you, that the more you put this off, the more someday the reckoning will be worse. But I think an awful lot of people, you listen to some of these economists that are, you know, got more degrees than I do, are saying that you can put it off forever. I'm not sure. I don't know if maybe they're right.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, our generation would say you never could get away with it.
We have cycles in these problems.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, if anything, there could be opportunities.
Well, I agree, but I'm not going to...
You can't be afraid of short sight.
No.
Short sight, yeah.
But I mean, these guys, they are very effective. Then we start going down, they pour more money, and we go right back up. Now, you and I know someday, but how long is someday? You know, 25?
Well... You know, we've almost every 10 years we've had some sort of
and we're kind of close.
Financial crisis. A couple of times they've become bigger than we expected.
By the way, we only got 20 seconds. Did you buy that yacht yet with the separate staterooms for Maddie and me?
No, not yet. No. You know why? I'm time bankrupt now.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to borrow time to even talk to you guys.
Well, you know what? Why don't you send Maddie and I some of your dough? We'll buy a big yacht and you can live by. We'll send you pictures.
And then you invite me to come and... Yeah, drive it around.
Yeah, we invite you once a month, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, what is it, don't you think? It's the only time. We were lucky to get one decent weather weekend in the summer here in Chicago, which is why you had a good weekend.
Hey, listen, last weekend here, I don't know what this weekend is going to be. Last weekend, my sister was visiting from California. She's got a couple of hotels that she manages on the Melbourne area, right next to the launch area for the, Cape Canaveral area.
Yeah.
She took a drive down here, and it was absolutely a weekend from heavens. Beautiful, you know, blue skies, not one cloud, and very sunny, very warm, absolutely awesome. And guess what's happening in L.A.? Snow.
Maddie, I don't think we want to listen to this anymore as it's 10 degrees here. All right, yeah. All right, thank you very much. talk to you next week, buddy. SP Futures down 450, NASDAQ Futures down 19. Come back, we're having Mr. David Adelman.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed.
PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right
now. Low heart based Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Matt Weber. We have Mr. David Amlin with us as well. SP Futures down 5, Nasdaq Futures down 21. Dow's only down 14, however, as Boeing continues to run up. Boy, every time there's like war talk and everything, the stock's gone from under 300 to 438 in about 8 weeks. And weren't these guys supposed to be like put out of business because they were charging too much for Air Force One and the F-35? Now, is that a lie? Now, can he go to jail for that like Cohen's going to jail? I'm just saying, man. One of those things, you know. Anyway, over in Europe, sorry about that. Over in Europe, the DAX down 17.1%, FTSE down 43.6%, CAC around down 5, call that flat. Over in Asia, down really for kind of the second day in a row, but still not much considering how much they've been up. Nikkei down 171.8%, Shanghai down 13.5%, Hang Seng down 124.4%. Yeah, the big news this morning came out about 2 hours ago is that President Trump walked out of the meeting with Kim as he demanded the sanctions be dropped before anything else happened. And Trump, to his credit, got up and walked out. Now, I suspect most people would, if that's really what happened, would probably agree with that. Oil down 9 cents, Brent down 41. Spread is contracting pretty much now. We're almost down to $9. We were 10.50 not very long ago. Natural gas 2.82, up 2 cents again. RBOB flat this morning, but 163. It's made a pretty good run. Most gas prices
Eddie, I was getting under $2 about 6 weeks ago. Now $2.50 is probably the best you can do around here. Home heating oil, 2.02. And we've got gold is up 420 back up to the 1325 level. Silver 1580 keeps going towards that 16 number. It can't, once it gets there, it gets hit like a whack-a-mole. So I don't know if these guys are going to break out here or not. David's going to tell us in a second. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We do have one crash in the area right now. It's on the Eisenhower, just like our last report, except this one's on the inbound side. A little farther in, eastbound, just before Harlem Avenue, we have a crash. That's been moved to the right shoulder, but that's affecting the Eisenhower significantly. From 390 to the old post office, we're up to an hour. From Mannheim, 45 minutes. Congestion, stop-and-go traffic in both directions on the Eisenhower due to two crashes in the last hour, one on the outbound side, one on the inbound side. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford are looking okay. Stevenson's off to a pretty good start. No major issues to report. Kennedy, traffic building heavily, but no accidents. Edens looks good. Suburban tollways are all quiet and have been all morning. Side streets are quiet, too. So outside of the Eisenhower, we're off to a pretty good start this morning. So enjoy that nice quiet commute. Weather today, not so enjoyable. We continue to be well below normal. We'll be overcast later on today, a high of just 26. Right now it's crystal clear and 15 degrees downtown with a wind chill of 3. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 76 today. Right now it's clear and 50. In sports, the Bulls have won 4 out of 5. They beat Memphis 109-107. Suns were off. Blackhawks with a nice road win in Anaheim 4-3. Hawks are 5 points out of a playoff spot in the West. Coyotes were off, but they're playing really well. They've won 4 straight. College hoops, Loyola beat Northern Iowa 56-55, a 1-point win to stay tied in first place in the Missouri Valley Conference. DePaul lost at Georgetown 82-73. Illinois played Purdue tough for the most part and then were blown out in the last 10 minutes or so. They ended up losing to the Boilermakers 73-56. Chief.
David, how are you?
I'm fine.
I was just looking here at some of the Chicago election results and I don't know, pretty interesting in some of this stuff, and I don't know what, I don't exactly know how to go about even analyze this, Matty. We're talking kind of on the way in. When you start seeing people in the country make these kinds of decisions, and you see a guy like Powell doing what he's doing, really changing the whole face of monetary policy, in my mind, to, really cordon favor with a group, in my mind, a bunch of, you know, I mean, I know there was always a banking institution, but I've never to this extreme. And obviously it's our job as money managers and so forth to find out where the weaknesses and strengths are there and act accordingly for clients. And, I would say I was just talking to David about how, if somebody really wants some short-term return that is safe, you know, and I don't usually give shameless plugs, that the, but I will right now, for them not to open up an account at PTI, and if you really want short-term safe stuff, my brother Dan is very good at going to the Treasury auction, and you look at, Fari and I just talked about this, the yield curve, David, and how there's no reason for the short end to be where it is, considering where the long end is, other than the Fed is propping it up by giving money to banks. So the hole in the system is not to put your money in the bank, not to put your money, you know, is they have Dan or somebody like him. We have one president. He's been going to the Treasury auction and getting 6 month stuff for people, 2.25, 2.40. I mean,
That's good.
I mean, if you're gonna, don't go out further. Why should you give it to him for a year for the same number? Why should you give it to him for 10 years for the same number?
2.25, 2.30, even 2.40, but you got to tie it up for 13 months, and if you take it out, you know, you lose a lot of your interest, at least a quarter's worth.
But I'm saying if you have extra dough, and we have clients that are doing this, $100,000, $200,000, $250,000, we're putting them in the 6 month. And, you know, and then T-bills, obviously, I got to believe we're going to pay those off. I mean, out of all the things you can talk about, and, you know, speaking of which, when you're a registered person, there's really only one thing you can talk about is being safe, right, David? And that's T-bills. So I'm perfectly confident of saying, but I mean, I don't see why more people don't do that. A lot of people are looking for a return. Right now, a return in the low twos that's risk-free is pretty good.
That is pretty good. You are starting to see some money market rates from banks and I would not, you know, push people towards this, but you know, in the ones, one and a half, I mean, better than a tenth like they were paying. So I mean, it's not wonderful, and I would not be, you know, a proponent, but if people want something really safe and really short term, you can get something, let's put it that way.
David,
better than paying negative, getting negative rates in 13 central banks in Europe.
I have a client, David, to get a load of this, and I won't name the annuity or whatever, but I never was big on annuities to start with. People know that. There's an annuity the guy probably has, and it is a guy, not just the South Side, everybody's a guy. He has 100 and some in one of these annuities, but he gets to pick essentially his pot.
Right.
Guess what the money market pot is?
I would have no idea.
How about paying 0.375% with an expense?
I was going to say a half.
With an expense ratio of 0.7. So he's losing on the deal.
Oh yeah, I mean I. Let's put it this way: there's somebody that I have a very, very close ties family member, or ex family member. Let's put it that way. And oh, you know, it's safe. I'm guaranteed my principal. Market goes up, I get, you know, up to 6%. Market goes down, I make zero. But you know, blah 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 blah. And the account's gone from 325,000 to 260 in an up market. Oh, where did it go? Oh, I guess life insurance premiums. So in other words, you win if you die, if not, you lose.
Right. If you got to die to win, I'm not so
and,
sure.
And the upfront 7% load. Jeez, where'd my $65,000 go in an up market?
Well, we had a person here at PTI that was our futures guy, Billy Bayer. Those that have been longtime clients remember Billy. One of the nicest guys I've ever met. And Billy, unfortunately, passed early with a nasty cancer. And, we trusted Billy. We had guys doing Mexican pesos and natural gas contracts and everything, and Billy kept it all straight. I never even dreamed that we would have a problem. We never did. And so I said to Billy, you know anybody, because he knew everybody in the industry, I said, Billy, you know anybody who knows anything about annuities? Because I really don't, David. I just, it's something I never studied, and I
That's
heard.
Good that you don't.
Well, so he gives me this buddy of his, so I call the guy up, and the guy goes, God, don't ever put anybody in one of those things. I go, why? He goes, he's the internal pricing. Oh, there's internal charges that you don't know anything about.
Oh God, it's incredible. The money literally, you win if you die.
Yeah.
You really do. They give you a great, great, great insurance policy. If you don't die, you lose.
Yeah. And but anyway, just not bad mouthing that stuff. Let's switch to what did Powell's testimony yesterday change your view? I'm not leading the witness. Did it change your view on the future, David? It sure did mine.
Frankly, I didn't. I got to be honest. I did not listen to every word. I watched CNBC all day, and it was kind of a split screen between, or actually almost a three screen
setup.
Yeah, it was
setup. Almost a three screen thing.
They had, you know, Powell and Cohn, and then they would switch back and forth periodically to, you know, whatever squawk box or, you know, lunch, whatever it is, thing. They would switch back, you know, to the live programming, you know, on set. And it got so confusing to me, and I didn't, let's put it this way, I didn't think it was materially different from his testimony the day before to the Senate panel, which I did listen to closely. And I don't know, my only impression is that, you know, he stressed, you know, data dependent, and, you know, here's what our mandate is, and we can't go beyond as far as income distribution and whatever. I'm not a big fan of Elizabeth Warren at all, but I think she did stick him on, you know, the merger question with, you know, 3,800, you know, applications, and all of them, you know, approved to go forward, and the like. But you know, other than that, I didn't really hear much new.
And, well, the one you know, old white dude guy, the day before, 2 days ago, was all over him on that too. He goes, I don't get it. Every one of these things is a good merger.
Right, not to turn down any.
Yeah, he says
not even one.
He goes, we want a vibrant competitive system, and you guys are shutting the place down. Basically, is what he told him.
Right. That certainly opened up my eyes.
Well, I mean, we talked a little yesterday about how the bureaucracy. If you talk to the chairman of the SEC on TV, they're going to tell you that they want a vibrant brokerage community as well. Yet,
oh yeah, right.
Yet we know how the low end bureaucrat, one less brokerage companies, one less place they have to go see.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't work its way down the system anywhere near like these guys will lie to you without going to jail. But two things kind of struck me yesterday, David, and see if you agree with me. Because, by the way, David has all kinds of educational sheets, too, in his business. He seemed to... maybe I was just... Manny hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Hopefully I wasn't doing that. But he... Two things. One is he seemed to hint at an obligation that if the Fed's policies from the past have made things propped up or whatever, he sort of has an obligation to keep it going.
Yeah, and I think he really solidified that by, you know, two or three questions that said, you know, okay, you're trimming the balance sheet, but, you know, from whatever, 4.2 or 4.3 trillion, you know, down to whatever it is, 2.8, 2.5, whatever it is. But can we ever go back to, you know, 400 million or 500 million, which is certainly manageable, before the Great Recession? And he basically said, there is no foreseeable way.
But I mean, I honestly do think it's time. I mean, and this is one man's opinion. I'm bouncing off everybody. And if it's a disagreement, that's fine. Because, by the way, it's not going to happen. Somebody needs to step up and say, I don't want you paying banks. And I don't want you in the mortgage business. It's not what we had before. I mean,
but that's not going to happen.
No,
I mean,
at least we have no leadership.
At least in this administration, he put his foot down. That's not going to happen. Even the few hundred billion, let alone 400 million, it will never go to that extent.
But
never.
The other thing is, he's absolutely bought into this. They must have put a chip in him about how the more money banks have, that then when the next crisis comes by, that they'll be able to absorb it. We've done our job. Without any regard to how did the banks get the money? You gave it to them from other people's pockets. And the idea going forward, I mean, David, you have kids and grandkids. I don't have kids and grandkids. I have nephews I care about and other people's kids I care about, and niece, by the way. I won't want to forget her. But the idea going forward that the world is going to live on 0% interest at the bank and pay 15 to 18 to 25% in a credit card, that's not my world. I mean, I'm sorry. That's insane.
There was some guy yesterday, I can't even name the guy, I've never seen him before on CNBC and whatever, and he said eventually people are going to find it shocking, but the United States will be operating on negative interest rates.
We already are, if you take your fees into account.
Right.
I just don't even begin to...
I mean, and that's staggering to me because, you know, you spend $179 on a safe and you put your money in. I mean, if you're going to have to pay for someone else to hold the money, keep it where you can see it.
The part you're missing, David, is there's not going to be any cash.
Well, no, I get it. And I did think of that. You know, the whole world will be electronic and, you know, whatever, PayPal and Square and whatever, and Apple Pay and whatever. You can touch your phone or you touch your watch, and that'll be the monetary system.
Well, last night I went and worked out, and my man Greg needed a ride home, and he was going to be an hour. So I said, all right, I'll stop in the Buckingham Bar. So I stopped in with a glass of wine. And, of course, I said, okay, where's my check? Because he was ready. And of course, they don't take cash. I said, by the way, I said, do you guys take cash yet? And the lady who's a little bit too big of a mouth for a bartender, is that a fair way to put it, Manny? Chief, you're the only person, whoever brings that up, it's getting old. first of all, you should never say that to a customer.
Tell her you're getting old, but as you age, you're getting wiser.
Yeah, and now is it really American Express's or anybody's business that I stop for a glass of wine? Did I have to put it on? Somebody has to know that about me.
And who knows what happens to that data.
Yeah. But does anybody, why can't, I mean, especially when you pull out a $10 bill and it says, this is good for every debt, public and private, right on the damn thing. I mean, how do people just take it to the next level, like on their own, and it's okay?
You know, there was a very, not to segue off the beaten path, but maybe it isn't. Kramer had an interview with CyberArk, and I'm not touting the stock, don't own a share, CYBR, an Israeli, internet protection and hacking and, whatever, security, advanced security. And Kramer was bringing up the point of the hacking of, Marriott. I mean, 50 million hotel stayers. Yeah. What could the Chinese want with that? And you know the concept? Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. So you can't go to a bar and buy a glass of wine with a credit card. Really, not so much because it's easier that they're valuing, to pay 3 to 7% on the ticket. It's because somebody wants the data.
Well, I was reading this thing the other day. I'm going to ask Matty Weber, because now, Matty, I want you to put your thinking cap on, not that you don't. This article, a guy said that anybody, by the way, your age, in your lifetime, you will be chipped. Matty?
What's your question?
Do you believe that?
As in under my skin?
Yes.
No, I don't believe that.
Do you have an idea how many companies are already doing it?
Not under my skin. Not under.
Yes, under your skin.
I don't know anyone that's doing that.
Dig it up,
there
buddy.
There are a lot.
Because people that have these campuses that are all self-contained and everything, and they want all security, people just wave their wrist. Instead of, we come in a building here, we use the card, you just wave your wrist in front of the thing.
I can't name the companies or firms, but there's some that put it in the scalp as well.
Yeah, but that's harder to do. You're not going to put your head down to the thing at the Dunkin' Donuts. You can wing your wrist by it. So everything we do in the morning.
That take it
there. Yeah, we just walk into the Dunkin' Donuts with coffee, I just wave my wrist at the thing, and we walk out.
Yeah.
You won't be, these companies will not allow you to work there if you don't agree to it, because that's their security system.
It looks like it's prevalent in Sweden.
Yep, and coming this way.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I'm out on that.
But I mean,
you're not moving to Sweden soon?
No.
No Stockholm combo for you?
But you sort of are chipped with your cell phone.
Yeah, your credit card's chipped. Your
no,
cell phone.
No, I'm talking about your cell phone. I know right where you are.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying your cell phone is essentially, if you have your GPS turned on, which most people do, then, you can be tracked by your cell phone. Absolutely.
But the idea of being chipped.
But you can also leave your cell phone anywhere. And it's not under your skin. That's a big difference.
Well, I'm saying this guy is predicting that if you were to ask somebody 20 years ago, would you walk around with a device where everybody could find you? The answer probably would have been no. And if you would have said to somebody, would you get rid of cash or even go to a place that doesn't take cash, everybody knows right where you are, or you can't get a, does any of these parking meters take cash?
They still take quarters.
Okay,
but no one has quarters, so
and you can't go anywhere for less than $8. So you need 32 quarters pulling your drawers down. So then you'd be mooning people, and they'd arrest you for that.
My daughter lives four blocks from Wrigleyville on Sheffield near Belmont, and there's a whole string both sides of Sheffield are all pay meters, no cash anymore, all credit cards.
I actually think you can put quarters and silver dollars in there.
They still have the slot, but they really make it as difficult as possible. And now you don't even print the receipt out. You just you plug in your license plate number.
Yeah, you have to put in your license plate. Who knows where that data's going?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So right now, actually, as stupid as this may sound,
so that tracks you whether you use quarters or not.
I actually
because you're putting your license plate in there.
You know what you forced me to do, Matty? With your knowledge of the world, you forced me to get my first app.
Welcome to 2019.
Yeah, my first app. You know what it is?
Yeah, welcome to like 2008.
Yeah, you know my first app. You know what it is?
No, what is it?
It's the Market Meter app.
Yeah, there you go.
And why is that?
Well, I don't have it, so you can avoid it.
Well, no, because a certain Matty Weber would tell me the last thing you want to do is keep sliding your credit card into those things in the street where they're so easily hacked.
That's true.
I took your advice. Don't ever say I never did it. I took your advice. I said, Matty would he'd slap me for using my American Express in this thing, two nights a week or whatever it is.
Yeah,
And so I figured the app is probably safer. But why does the city point. Why does the city need to know I stopped for a beer or dinner or whatever?
Well, they don't, but they now that they switched to where you have to put your license plate number in every time you do it, I mean, they know exactly where you are at all times. Or at
well,
least
whoever's anyway.
Driving your car. No, they didn't.
Well, if you use the credit card, they knew where you were.
Well, if you use your credit card, yes. But you at least always had the opportunity to put quarters in and or silver yeah. dollars in and not have your license plate there, and then there was no tracking.
So in that vein.
However, there were 3,000 cameras on the streets.
So. Yeah. So, okay, so I went to my buddies at the Fed, and we were going to stop for a caucus, and I said, bring me a roll of dollars. Can you even get them at the bank? Where do you think the roll of dollars is? It's still sitting in the glass on my dresser.
Right.
You know, I had the thought of putting the roll of dollars in your pocket. I mean, which you should. Since I have 25 in a roll? Since I have 25, I probably should at least use them. Yeah, but you go anywhere you go, it's $8 for 2 hours. It's like parking in a garage.
Downtown it is, yeah. On the north side, it's still much cheaper than that. But it's still, I mean, it's still annoying.
But I'm going to say that it probably detracts. We'll talk about our local place, the Triple E Tap. I'm going to say that it costs Nick 5 to 10 people per night. Not stopping for one beer or a couple that's going out for dinner. Let's stop for one before we go to the restaurant. It's too much of a pain in the behind, and why do you have to pay for that? You certainly, if you're driving home and want to stop before going home, the last thing you do is want to get the wife that would get you that on the bill. Or the other way around.
I have no idea if that's true or not, but it's definitely very possible.
I mean, there's no way to prove it, but I'm just saying, it's a pain in the behind. Not to mention, you could half the time you got to walk half a block to pay now. Right?
It's a complete pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It is.
But everything has consequences. Now, David, I started by asking, what is... it's made me a little bullish, the guys talk yesterday. What they're saying is, we're going to go right to the edge of the cliff, and the cliff might not be there for 5 years. You got to use the opportunity. I mean, he pretty much said yesterday it's the Fed's job not to let the market go down. Somebody asked him about
that.
No, I
agree with that, and that's why I think, you know, 3, 5, 8% at the most breaks are breaks that you have to buy. I think they've over-discounted, you know, the pace of slowing, you know, earnings growth and underestimated the power of the stock buybacks, et cetera, et cetera. But on the other hand, I think that, you know, a lot of good news, including the trade deal, which is likely to not be real, real substantial, is priced in. So you let the market wash out, you know, S&P over 28, and really the tops, everyone's targeting 2,800. Really all the tops are between 2,810 and 2,831. So, you know, everyone will get excited if you see a 2,815 print and say, it's breaking out, it's going, you know, another 150 points. I think that's the time to sell.
I don't disagree with that, except if you listen to the testimony yesterday, I will disagree with that. The attitude now is you can stave off market forces forever.
Well, I don't know about forever, because he did say that, you know, debt, you know, $22 trillion or $23 trillion or whatever is literally unconscionable and unsustainable. And then, so that means it's sustainable as long as the economy grows now, but not forever.
But he didn't mention a crossover point. He didn't link the two together.
No, I agree.
To what he's doing and what the Fed's doing, or
right,
the Treasury's doing, which you're saying there's a link. I think there's a link. He didn't link them. He specifically
he's
did
only
not.
The Fed chairman.
Yeah, he specifically didn't link them.
I agree.
I mean, it says to me, David, you know, real quick, I'll mention one more time, that the 10, 15%, 5% premium that you think the Fed has in the market, he pretty much said yesterday it's his responsibility to maintain it.
No, I get it. No, I agree with that. And that's why there's going to be a Fed put, a cushion under the market at, you know, the foreseeable future. You can't get aggressively short.
And but then old guys will say, one day that'll all come clattering down. They don't believe that that's going to happen. Are we right or wrong on that? Maybe it won't come clattering down.
I think we're right. But I don't know when, and that's the problem.
And plus, neither one of us want to see it. Right? I mean, I don't want to see
that's
it.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of a crazy thing.
So just make sure your hedges are real hedges and not speculative shorts.
And if you got free cash, come on here and we'll put it in T-bills for you.
That's right.
Which is true, right? I mean, I don't know if anybody else does that, but anyway. So, Maddie, David, thank you very much, buddy.
Okay.
SP Futures down 5, Nasdaq Futures down 22. We've been like that every day this week. Then we come back up, and then we go down a little bit on the close. Maybe they'll do the same thing. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.